And let me say how glad I am that y'all are here this afternoon. I know we have people here for a variety of reasons this afternoon, and I'm glad for all of those. My name is Joyce Dalzell, and I serve as Executive Director of FaithWorks. You'll see Paul Mathis in just a minute. The other FaithWorks t-shirt in the room is my husband Dave, who teaches the book of Matthew for our semester. When we think of FaithWorks, it always makes me think of the not giving a man a fish, but teaching a person to fish, in the way that Jesus called his disciples, his students, to a new life, to a new career, if you will. Changing old habits, old traditions, for a better career. And in Abilene, and probably in your town as well, there's so many who are desperate for a call to a new career. FaithWorks of Abilene calls our unemployed neighbors to come and to learn a new career, to learn a new life, to change old habits, and to start new. FaithWorks is a 13-week career development training program. We offer three classes a year, and this is our class 1 year ago. I like to go back a few classes to kind of be able to tell how folks are doing. And these 19, I think, is what we started with. You can turn that off. You can turn that off. Are what we started with a year ago, June. We begin our summer class this year in 2 weeks, June 1st, and we'll run through the months through the end of August. This is a pretty good example of who we serve and who our friends are in FaithWorks. If you look at the makeup of the group, it's usually about 80% female, 20% male. Somewhere between 30 to 50% of our students come from former incarceration, about that same percentage. Sometimes it's the same person come from a prior struggle with addiction. As you look at this, two or three were homeless, sleeping on the streets before the semester was up. They were in shelters. One of the women who turned 36 in our summer was just out of 18 years of prison, handful out of addiction. Carla in the white jacket on the right had been in a serious automobile accident and paralyzed for seven years, and had 3 or 4 months before FaithWorks began to be mobile. Still paralyzed on one side of her body, but wears a device that helps her walk. Highly skilled. She started her, she worked the Red Cross in the Oklahoma City bombings and started nonprofits on her own, but was at a place that she just needed a place to get her feet back on the ground and start again. And then right in the middle of all of this is one of our youngest students who comes from a small church 15 or 20 miles away, and the eldership there said, "You're withdrawing, you're stepping back from, instead of stepping up, why don't you give FaithWorks a try?" And she works as a certified phlebotomist at the largest hospital in town. We began with 19, 13 finished, 12 completed all of the requirements and fully graduated at the end of August. We still are in relationship with most of those, even those who did not graduate, which is one of our goals. It's about the relationship. Our first class was in January of 2003. Before FaithWorks, I served as Human Resource Director for Abilene Christian for 11 or 12 years. But for a season, stepped back from that job and began volunteering in the community. And it was during that time, specifically at the Christian Ministries Food Pantry, that I met the men and women who have become so important to my life, those who came in asking for food on that Monday afternoon that I volunteered at Christian Ministry. And I learned there that there were two tracks of people coming in for food. There was one that would come back and get food every time they were allowed, Becky, I'm remembering you're at the back of the room. But there was another set who were there due to catastrophe, and they hated coming in and asking me for food. They hated that that's what they had to do to feed their families during that season. But wearing my human resource colored glasses, I couldn't help but think, but you only need this, and you could go back to work. If not for that, you could go to work. And I immediately became interested in that second track that was not doing food pantry as their mama had and as their grandmother had, but they were forced there because of something horrible and situational that had happened in their life. This is our building. We reside in a building that was originally built as a suite of doctor's offices. It was built in 1955, and we've been in this building since January of 07. It's about 5,000 square feet. A is our counseling room. B, we offer a professional clothing closet for anyone in the community that needs clothes. So not just for FaithWorks men and women, although we do shop with them several times during this semester, but anyone in the Abilene area who needs something to wear to go to work or for an interview. C is the office. D is the classroom. E is our kitchen. We feed breakfast and lunch as part of our day. And so our mission statement, you see, is whole person. It is to help the unemployed or underemployed through personal, career, academic, and spiritual development, acquire the confidence and skills for gainful employment. We intentionally spend as much time developing healthy confidence as we do skills to go into the workplace. And as you think about where does healthy self-confidence come from, we go back to this question. What is God's one great passion? Because that's where the confidence comes from. People. People are. We are. The FaithWork students are. We are. This is our bottom left is the class that we just graduated last Thursday night. Top left is as we serve lunch, as students are dishing up lunch around a big wood butcher block in the center of our kitchen. Often, and I'm reminded in several incredible sessions that I've been in the last 2 days, but when I think of how my life is different in FaithWorks than it was before, when I consider lunch every day with the group that you see dishing up lunch there that day, I think I have a much better perspective of what heaven will be like. I think heaven's going to look a lot more like that than what I thought it was before I came to FaithWorks 12 years ago. Nikki in the bottom right, one of the things that we do is we're looking for ways to better serve our students. What do they need most that 12 months after graduation? Our 13 weeks is so very intense, and then we graduate and they could fall off a cliff. What do we need to keep doing during that? Housing is one of the big things. And Nikki was one of the first that we helped put into an apartment. The beautiful furniture that you see there, one of our friends from church who runs a furniture store saves up traded-in furniture and helps us equip places. We moved a student in yesterday with a truckload of traded-in, beautiful traded-in furniture that gave her a place to live in her apartment. FaithWorks is a volunteer-run organization. We probably have a dozen folks, not counting that each student has a mentor. And the stories of how people come to us, I think, is just an incredible story. And the pictures that are shown here show the other areas of those lives. The center picture on the left, Linda, who serves as one of my volunteer assistants in the office, that's a baptism. If you've ever been to Abilene and seen the beautiful walkway and sculpture at Jacob Stream, there's an outdoor pool. And this student chose to be baptized outside in that pool with her FaithWorks friend there. Gloria in the middle, the top, retired from ACU, PhD, wrote federal grants at ACU, and now she does two things for us. She writes grants. She's one of my Tuesday resource development grant writers, but she's also certified in Stephen Covey, Seven Habits, and we do that one day a week. You'll meet Paul in just a minute. He begins his sixth class in June. He graduated with double master's degree on a Friday night, August 2 years ago, and started with us that next Monday morning. Valerie, center on the right, is a graduate from the program. She graduated 4 years ago, and this August comes on her 3 years working for us. The longest that Valerie had held a job before FaithWorks, I believe, was 6 months. She runs our kitchen, and she makes sure that we have someone to bring meals. She prepares a hot breakfast every morning. But she reminds us weekly how much she loves FaithWorks and that she is there to stay. Bottom right is going counterclockwise. My husband, Dave, teaches the book of Matthew. His day job, he's a real estate broker, an incredible Bible teacher, and incredible application lessons. Sue, on the left in the bottom center, has been a commercial banker in town. When I first met her, she was a development officer at ACU. She and her husband run a chuck wagon dinner place, but she serves as a mentor. She comes in once a day and has lunch with one of our students and has that commitment for at least that 13-week semester. I love the picture of she and Sally there. Sally did not graduate. She completed probably 10 of the 13 weeks, but when Sally began with us, she was in residential recovery. She moved to a transitional drug recovery house. Child Protective Services had removed all four of her children, and the three organizations worked very closely to help her through all of those. Sue and I went with her and sat at the table for court hearings to help her have the right to get her sons back. And this last weekend, for the first time, she had unsupervised visits of her two sons who lived the farthest from her. And so when you think traditionally of how we think FaithWorks is going to go, and it's to go to work, and that's all, not at all. Sally is working. She's still working. She's back working in the family restaurant. But the thing, besides having 7 months of sobriety now, or 9 months of sobriety now, is that her family is coming back together. And that first step was supervised visitation, but last weekend she had her two of her sons on her own. Tom in the white shirt began as one of our internship providers, but he's the man who owns the furniture store. The guy in the red shirt is one of our graduates, and he, part of our semester is an unpaid internship, and Doug volunteered as an unpaid internship in Tom's business store and Tom's furniture store. But now, as we have a student that we are putting in a place of her own for the very first time, Tom is one of our first calls to see what furniture he has in storage. And his delivery guys not only deliver and set up the furnitures, but recently they noticed one of the air conditioning vents in the apartment was facing the wrong way. They do like an inventory of the house and fix that and just get things set up. Often it is for single moms who are moving in. We said this a minute ago, but FaithWorks is a whole person. There are many reasons why a person is not gainfully employed, and we seek and we work with all of those ways. One of my favorite parts, not one of the easiest parts of FaithWorks, is something that we do during the second week of each semester. During the second week, when the class barely knows each other, they have come together as strangers around a table the week before, we ask them to draw and to share their life map. These go up on the wall in the classroom until the next class begins and puts their life map up. And so when you see this, you'll see that there's not any names or dates or any hopefully identifying information that even if a family member came in, that they would know for sure that that was their sister or daughter's life map. But one of the reasons that I show this is that this student, and it was a female student, and she'd only known us for a couple of weeks, but the immense trust that we ask and that these students give as they share this. If you'll notice between the first and second arrows over that, she came back and liquid papered that drawing there. She'd been at FaithWorks for a few weeks and realized that her mom was going to come have lunch with her. And there was a part of this story that she had shared with us that her family did not know. And so she did that to protect her own privacy in that, but it was something that she had shared with this group around the table. Here's another life map. You see the stick figures that are people and family and friends, and you see the bars that are incarceration. Might have been the student, or it could have been a family member, but this is not unlike what the life maps look like. You see the buildings that look like houses and schools and homes and maybe a church down here. We asked the students to draw the things that were important enough in their life that brought them to where they are today. And we give them 30 minutes to draw it. So if you think about drawing your whole life in 30 minutes, you have to really discern and think, what do I include and what does not make that cut? FaithWorks is free to the student. We don't charge the student for anything. And not only do we cover the cost as a 501c3 nonprofit for curriculum and all of that, but we help them with other basic needs costs as they are there as we can. But here are the five things that we ask for a person to be a part of FaithWorks. It's a program for adults. One of the things that I haven't said is that when we started this in 2003, we patterned off of HopeWorks in Memphis, Tennessee. And many of the things that we began with, we did because they did. And then we tested it, because Abilene, Texas and Memphis, Tennessee are not exactly the same. But this began with their five recommendations for enrollment into HopeWorks. And we tried 17-year-olds. Over the 36 classes, we've taken four 17-year-olds. And two times it's worked well, and two times it has not. The very first 17-year-old we took was a girl named Laura, and she came in and completed about two-thirds of the class. We were into internships, and she was volunteering at a library. She had not finished her own high school education, was volunteering at a library in a middle school in town, but her mother started punishing her for attending and started withholding things. In the beginning, it was like cigarettes, and then it was the money. Whatever their monthly check was, she would not give Laura her portion of the check, and finally Laura quit. She couldn't do it. And so the next 17-year-old that came, I said, I need to know that you have permission to be here, and there's not somebody else who's going to come in a couple of weeks and say, sorry, Jacob, this is not what I want you to be doing right now, so you'll have to leave. And he brought his mom, and Jacob and his mom went through the program together. And so 17 is a mixed bag. The curriculum is written at a sixth grade reading level, so we need students to read at sixth grade or higher. We read a lot together. We read out loud around the table. Attendance, this is probably the hardest one for me. I'm a human resource person in a former life, and so my brain understands that a person cannot miss 10% of work and keep a job. 10% over a year is 20 days. And not only can we not miss 20 days and keep that job, but I don't want to work with someone who's missing that much work, because now I'm doing my stuff and I'm doing their stuff. Also, my heart tells me that when we have a student who reaches that point, if they're not with us, where are they and what are they doing? And is it better than being in class? And so we struggle with that. And most often, the way a person attends FaithWorks is the way that they will attend their first job. And so it means if we allow that excessive absenteeism, that we know pretty well that when they go to that first job, they're going to do the same. They'll lose that job, do that little bounce out there in the community until they get to their second job. Alcohol and drug free for at least 6 months. Again, we know that it takes the body 6 months, just the chemicals, to clean up, to get out of the body. Every once in a while, we have someone, and we present to every, we're invited into every 20-day class, 28-day class of the residential recovery program in town. Paul goes next week to invite those students who will graduate over the next couple of weeks. We know they're not going to have 6 months sobriety before we begin again June 1st. Every once in a while, there's a compelling reason why timing and situations were such that they need to be given that chance to start now. Most of the time, it's too soon. And most of the time, a person who starts with less clean time just does not work. And then the fifth qualification is that the student agrees to a minimum of 5 individual counseling sessions. We pay for counseling for a full year. And so a student attends a range of 5 to 50. Most of the ones who continue for a period of 11 to 13 sessions after Faith Works. And they can either do that immediately after graduation, or sometimes they'll leave, get settled in, start something, and then something comes up and they come back and say, does the offer still stand? Can I come back and meet with, can I come back and meet with Kurt and work through some things? And we always say yes to that. Counseling is one of our best correlators to the success of our students. And it took me a full year at least to see that firsthand. That was a hand-me-down from Hope Works. But to see the students who used the counseling and to see the ones that went to work, there is a direct correlation to that. So how do students find out about us? Our highest, best recommendation are from other students. Jacob and his mom that I talked about just a minute ago, 6 or 7 members of their family have come through Faith Works. Siblings at 2 different generations, the mom and sisters, and Jacob and 2 brothers have come to that. We also have referrals from other helping agencies in town. And then this time of the year, we begin again June 1st, we put about 500 to 600 brochures out in town. With those agencies, and then hopefully do a few radio spots, and sometimes the newspaper will pick something up. The yellow quotes, I didn't say that. Those are quotes from former students. We pull those from some of the writing that they do while they're in class and then just ask permission to use that. They write their essential stories. They write their before Faith Works, during Faith Works, and after Faith Works story. And then we ask if we could pull quotes from that. Doesn't match the picture. Doesn't have anything to do with the list. It fits on the screen. But the yellow quotes are from former students. And so a day at Faith Works. Class runs from 9 to 4. We set breakfast out at 8:30. Our day begins with devotional time. We read what we have come to call our Psalm of the Day. The first day of class, we read Psalm 1. The second day, Psalm 2. When this semester ended, on our last morning, we read Psalm 88. So that's how far we got in our spring semester. We journal for 10 to 15 minutes every morning. It's confidential. No one sees it, and they don't share it. And then we end that devotional time with prayer time. Paul will talk in a minute about our life skills curriculum. Lunchtime is not a closed, it's an open hour. We do lunch there. We have guests every day. And then weekly Bible study, one morning a week, computer training. As the curriculum gets to that, weekly group counseling for this last semester, that was Thursday mornings, and then internships that we'll look at. Reflections, consolation, desolation. What is the best thing of the last 24 hours, and what was the most challenging? What gave me life? What drained life?
And so as Joyce mentioned, our curriculum is the part that I spend the most of my time with. The Atkins Life Skills Program was developed at Columbia University in New York, and it is broken into these 4 areas: how to choose, find, get, and keep a job. And so we work with the students through the first 3 units on choosing their goal career. We don't want them to just go out and get a job. We want them to go out and get the job. So we start as broad as we can. What have you done? What would you like to do? And no matter what that is, write it down. Put it on the list. One of the examples that I use is I would love to be a pilot. I would love to fly a plane. But I'm too tall to fit in the cockpit, and I'm colorblind. So I will never be a pilot. But I put that on the list at the beginning of the semester. And then as I research the job, as I research myself, I can make some decisions about what to cut off of the list. And so we start in Unit 1 with as many choices as possible. And through the first 3 units, we narrow that down to 1 choice. What is the job for me? Once we have chosen that, we move into the finding a job, which is resume writing, letter writing, going out into the community and finding out about jobs, researching the companies, researching who's hiring, what the economy is like, what the job market is like, writing letters to people and saying, I'm interested in working for you, where to find places to work, where to find jobs that are available. The getting a job is the resume writing and the interview. So we spend probably about 3 of the 13 weeks writing resumes. We take a lot of time gathering all of the information that they need. A lot of our students don't know dates and don't remember the dates, don't remember the phone numbers, don't remember the contact information. So we spend a lot of time giving them opportunity to find that out so that they can have it as exact as possible. Another thing we help our students realize, that people that don't have a really good work history still have job skills that they can put on their resume. Somebody that's been a housewife for 20 years and has gone through a divorce and is now looking for work for the first time in her adult life, she has job skills in planning meals and shopping and cooking and shuttling an entire family all over the city. There are things that person has to do that are job-related, and so we try to help people realize what their job-related skills are. With the interviews, we actually do mock interviews. There was a picture of Gloria Bradshaw earlier. Gloria's husband, Larry, who's been in broadcasting for 30-plus years, he comes and he puts them through a mock interview, and he even trips them up by asking them a few illegal questions, questions that people aren't allowed to ask. How are our students going to deal with that? And so they get to practice that. He also asks them questions that they don't want to answer. So I see that you spent some time in Taylor County Jail. Can you tell me about that? Or you spent some time in prison. Can you tell me about that? How are they going to handle answering those questions on a job interview? And Larry really does a good job helping them learn that. And then how to keep a job. We don't want to send our students out to be able to find a job and that's it. We want them to be able to keep it. A large majority of our students have walked off of a job before for some reason. They've been upset about a supervisor or a coworker, or they just woke up with a headache one morning and they didn't go to work. But there are a lot of reasons people lose jobs. We want them to learn how to keep that job once they find it. We're spending 13 weeks with them teaching them how to go and find a job. We want them to be able to keep it long term. And as we work through this curriculum, these are the 4 major components of that curriculum. Identify the employability problems, past addiction use, or addiction drug use, criminal background, health issues, poor job history, never being at a job very long. There are a lot of different problems that our students have faced. And what are their feelings about those problems? Sometimes people come to us and they're just jaded. No one's going to hire me. No one really likes me. They're out to get me. What's the use of even trying? Other people come in and are angry. And there are a lot of different types of emotions and struggles that our students are going through. And so we want to identify what their feelings are about the problems they face and then learn new information to solve those problems. Again, just the AA saying, our definition of insanity, if you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got. And we want our students to learn something new. And which leads us to the 4th part, which is really my favorite thing. FaithWorks is not a theoretical program. It's not somewhere where we get and we just talk about the job market or finding a job, but it's a very practical program, a very hands-on skills-related program, translating everything that we learn into effective behavior that can be applied in the real world. Joyce mentioned the computer training. We do several different things. Basic keyboarding. Most of our students know how to text, and their thumbs are really good. It's the other 8 fingers that need some more practice. And so we have a program, Mavis Beacon, that just walks people through wherever they're at. If they're a beginning typist or if they're rather skilled in typing, you can start Mavis Beacon wherever you're at, and it will help improve accuracy and speed so that you can gain a little bit of typing experience. And so we do that with word processing when we write our resumes and letters of inquiry. We use Microsoft Word, and so we'll walk our students through how to use Microsoft Word. We present them with Excel. I've not taught Excel a lot with the last few classes, but that's something that we have available and provided for our students to be able to use. We also do PowerPoint presentations. Through the first 3 units, our students make presentations about their skills and abilities and about the jobs they're pursuing. And we have them do anywhere from a 5 to 10 minute presentation with a PowerPoint. And so they create the PowerPoint, they learn how to use it, and that's something that they can add on their resume or when they go into an interview that they've been using Microsoft Word and Microsoft PowerPoint. We use the internet for job searches and for email. Some of our students have an email address that they don't want an employer to know about. It may have a bad word or it may just not sound very professional. And so we'll create a professional sounding email for them that they can use to contact potential employers. And really, most good job search material out there is online. Newspaper classifieds really are not that effective. And so using things like Monster and Indeed.com and other online resources is something that we do quite a bit of. We also have several specialty classes. We mentioned Kurt Boylan as a counselor. He also teaches conflict management and also character education, the first and third bullet on this class. What we tell our students is if you're going to work around people, there is going to be conflict. And so how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with your coworker who's really getting on your nerves? Or how are you going to deal with that customer who's really rude? We want our students to come away learning how to deal with conflict effectively. And Kurt does a really good job. The curriculum he uses was actually developed by the Duncombe Conflict Resolution Center at ACU. And so the curriculum they developed, I think they developed it specifically for FaithWorks, is what Kurt goes through with them. Joyce mentioned the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Gloria Bradshaw teaches that. We give them a copy of the book, and she runs through that curriculum. A budgeting class. You saw a picture of Sue Ball earlier. She comes in the last two classes twice, near the beginning of the semester to talk about budgeting, checkbooks, things like that. And the second half of the semester, she comes in, talks about grocery shopping, couponing, other ways to save money once our students get out and start working and earning a paycheck. Interviewing skills, as I mentioned with Larry Bradshaw, resume workshop. You see Gloria pictured here. In addition to writing grants and teaching 7 Habits, she's also a very skilled writer, PhD in English. And so she looks over all of our students' resumes. The chair of the English department at ACU, Cole Bennett, will come when all of our students have the resumes written. And he just sits and talks with all of our students one-on-one about their resume. And that's always something that they're very appreciative of, that this professor at ACU just comes down and spends a morning with our students one-on-one to help go over their resumes. We provide different kinds of counseling. The group counseling is 1.5 hours a week. Tracy Fleet, who is an LPC in Abilene, has been with FaithWorks almost since the beginning in a variety of different functions. He was the classroom instructor for a year. He's been a counselor for several years doing the group counseling. Individual counseling is provided by Kurt Boylan. He is also an LPC, and he carries two licenses. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist as well. He will see all of our students at least 5 times. In a large class, it's 5 times a semester. In a smaller class, sometimes it can be as many as 7 or 8. It just depends on how many people we have for him to see. And he, as Joyce mentioned, follows up and sees those students for the next 9 months following graduation. So a year, this next class begins June 1st, so he will see those students until June 1st, 2016. And he loves to do that. The picture that I have up here is Mary. She was she finished last summer. She did not graduate. She had some things left to do, some requirements that she didn't fulfill. And over the next semester, she came back to FaithWorks. She's volunteering there almost every day of the week. She finished all of her requirements. And so when we had our fall class graduation, Mary got her certificate from the summer class and then finishing everything up. And she has utilized Kurt since that class has ended and has been very much a benefit for her. And then ongoing group counseling is offered at Thursday Night Together, TNT. We meet one Thursday night a month to check in. How are things going? Not only the highlight, low light of each day is how we end our day, but we do that monthly gathering. What's been your highlight and low light of the last month? What's been the best part, the worst part? What are you still struggling with? How are you successful? And we eat a meal together. We read a book and discuss the book. That's kind of optional. Joyce buys the books and provides them for the students, and they can pick them up or they cannot. They can read them or they cannot. But it's just something that we provide as a basis for discussion. Weeks 9, 10, 11, and 12 is our internship portion. They do 60 hours over the 4 weeks. That works out to 15 hours a week, 3 hours a day. So we meet for class in the morning, 9 to 12, we eat lunch, and then from 1 to 4, typically they go on their internship. These are some pictures of several different internships. In the upper left-hand corner is Hope from a spring class a year ago. She loves animals. Did her internship at Rescue the Animals, SPCA, in Abilene. They didn't have any positions available when the semester was done, so she kept volunteering. They ended up hiring her. They ended up promoting her to pretty much full-time. And then they closed down about 2 months ago, just unexpectedly. And so she's been kind of scrambling, looking for work. I just saw on Facebook after we got here, she found a job where she's able to work rescuing animals. She's not so much the vet tech type of animal lover. She's the I want to rescue this animal from a bad situation kind of animal lover, and she's found a job where she's able to do that. On the bottom right is Rosario. Rosario had had some life issues, drug and alcohol addiction, broken relationship with her daughters, even in some ways. When she was in middle school, she had done some welding, like a vocational trade kind of thing, and so she decided she wanted to get back into that. There is a welding company in Abilene, Frontier Welding. It's at Rentec Boiler Systems. They allowed her to do her internship there, and they hired her when the class was done. But then the economic downturn hit. Last one hired, she was the first one laid off. Until about a year later, when their business picked up again, they brought her back on. And if you've ever been to Abilene and have driven downtown, Frontier, Texas has these big buffalo up on 30-foot tall poles or 40-foot tall poles. Rosario is one of the two people that welded those buffalo. That was the job that she came back and did. And so driving downtown is a reminder of what FaithWorks has done in Abilene. It's also a reminder to her daughters. Her daughter drove past that every morning going to high school and said every time she looks up and sees those buffalo, it's a reminder of what her mom has overcome and what her mom has done. Rosario is now a member of our board beginning this January. So she is a student, a graduate, and now she is a board member, and she's able to have an influence on current and future classes of FaithWorks. This is our spring class that just graduated. Not everyone in this picture graduated. Six graduated last week and are looking for work. Craig down here in the bottom did his internship with the longest named internship provider we've ever had, Dr. Tom's Preventative Healthcare Four-Year Computer. Doing computer repair, and they hired him before the semester was done, and he loves it. He came to us out of addiction, out of kind of floundering around, relationships broken apart, even lost a child, just hurting and broken, and now he's working full-time. Just in the span of 13 weeks, the change that has taken place in him has been incredible. I'll just mention this really quickly and then turn it back over to Joyce to finish up. But the other areas of assistance that we provide, Joyce mentioned our clothing shop. If our students don't have professional clothing, we will provide them for them. Not only for our students, if someone is sent to us throughout town, hey, go to FaithWorks, I'll have clothes for you. We'll provide them with one or two outfits for their interview or for their first day of work. We also have personal care items there as well. The emergency assistance for utilities, food, gas, bus passes, we do that on a community service basis. For every hour of community service, we will credit $10 an hour. So a bus pass is about $38 a month in Abilene. So for 3.5 hours of community service, we will provide a bus pass. Or if a light bill is due that's $100, we will try to pay half of that. If they'll go and do 5 hours of community service, we'll provide $50 towards their bill. We do that as our budget allows, when we're able to. We want to make sure that our students are able to stay and to be a part of FaithWorks for the entire semester. And so we'll provide as much help as we can to make that happen.
We measure our success. We are funded by United Way and the Community Foundation in town, as well as other area foundations, and they want to know the money they give us, what are we doing with it, and how is it working. And so normally we do a, we consider like a two-thirds rule. Two-thirds of the folks who start with this finish, and about two-thirds of those go to work, go to school, and sometime do both. While I'm still on this slide, that was one of our very first graduations. But one of the things that I think is so important about service, the relationships that we provide at FaithWorks, is that work is good. God made a garden and put Adam and Eve in it to work the garden. I love that. I'm a gardener as well. And so not only are we helping families get back on their feet, not only are we helping them obtain dignity for the first time, not only are we helping them obtain financial independence, but we're bringing them back into that part of God's plan. Work is good. And this is one of the gifts that is a part of FaithWorks. Jeremiah 29:11, we know and love. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. FaithWorks is very much a place of hope and a future. Wow, we finished with 1 minute left. We love questions and comments and observations. So if anyone has anything, yes, sir.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, your presentation here, is this, are you, the result that you'd like to have out of being here, is it to gain some support for your program, or is it to encourage others, obvious, to consider
it is to encourage others. FaithWorks works, and it works. We benefited from someone else working through a lot of the issues before they handed us all of the startup information. I was given 2 really thick 3-ring binders and spent months with that in that year and a half that we considered this before we began FaithWorks.
So how do you, and I'm more familiar with Paul, I know Paul has lived in several different states in his lifetime. How do you consider Abilene? I'm thinking of in terms of ethnicity, in terms of
Social,
how does Abilene compare with the country, I guess, to norm?
I'm an HR person. You should be able to answer that, but I don't know exactly how to answer that. For me, success, I'll give that to you just a second. For me, success is that our student population at FaithWorks reflects Abilene, ethnicity-wise, the gender. We're in a great downtown neighborhood. Both of our locations have been in a great under-resourced neighborhood, and so to be placed in a place where we're able to bring those resources in to help the neighborhood as well.
Just ethnicity-wise, Abilene is pretty symbolic of the nation as a whole. We're just barely under 50% Anglo. We're no longer over 50% Anglo. We're over 30% Hispanic. We're around 13% African-American. We're a center for international rescue for people from all over the globe, especially in the Mideast and in the African continent, who have been in refugee camps come. So we have a great mix. You'll notice that the class is just the opposite. Instead of being 50% Anglo, it quite often is 40 or so Hispanic and 20 or 25% African-American, because our minorities throughout our nation have had the hardest time coming from a culture that work is good and that you deserve a good, well-paying career. And if you haven't got one, there's resources to get one. And so that's been the biggest change. Today's question about why are you here, you're hearing throughout the lectureship about our churches being almost all Anglo. The biggest segregation in America is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Our congregation is changed drastically in the 12 years that FaithWorks been around. It was not set up, nor is its goal, to change people in the Church of Christ Christians. Although, when you change your life, we do teach that the greatest rabbi of all is the greatest way to find happiness here on earth as in heaven. But our congregation, when you walk into our regular welcoming center, there's a great number now of people from every economic class, including the lowest economic class. There are people that are formerly homeless there that say hi to everybody that comes through. There are different races and ethnicities and generations and different cultures in our church, and partly because of faithfulness. So one of the greatest ways to accomplish what you're hearing the other speakers speak about is to do good in your community. Because when you do good in your community wants to go where that good comes from.
Now, when you say your congregation, you speak of Highland.
Yes.
Correct.
Highland, you're from Highland. Yeah. But I see in Paul's blog, I see a lot about Freedom Fellowship. What's the relationship, any relationship,
Highland,
Freedom Fellowship?
Highland has two sort of satellite campuses, Freedom Fellowship and Grace Fellowship. And both of them serve in two local communities in Abilene that are more geared towards the community itself, but also the homeless and more poverty populations. We provide a meal every Wednesday night and then a Bible class and really just try to kind of create a safe place in a neighborhood. Instead of inviting people to Highland, we're kind of going to them, going into the neighborhoods and just welcoming people in. And I know at Freedom, where I'm at, there have been nights that about a third of the audience at Freedom have been through FaithWorks in some way. And so there's a really great relationship between that. But Highland has been really intentional about working with the underserved populations, and Freedom and Grace are the ways they do that.
You mentioned the person on your staff that works with grant writing. Mm-hmm. Is are grants available?
Yes.
for you or for the student?
For us.
Okay.
And then we pay, that pays scholarship, and it also gives us money, case management money, to help with rent and groceries and medical and child care and things like that.
And another question too.
Okay.
We do a lot of work with the mission in our local mission. And we have worked with people in helping them to find jobs and so forth. We don't have the structure to provide counseling. One of the things that we have found so often is that we get them a job and they don't feel that they deserve that job. And this happens over and over.
That's why you have to deal with the whole person and not just one part of it. Not just the heart, or not just the skills, or not just the spirituality. It's the whole person that has to have an opportunity to change.
Very good. Thank you.
We're teaching about self-confidence.
Yes.
All right. Thank you all for coming. It looks like we got to get out for the next class.